Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, it is Dom time. Welcome in. We are moving heaven and earth, I'd say. Cautiously, we're not going to go wild yet behind the scenes. It's so obvious that the impeachment hearing should happen with Krasner. He gets his chance to tell us about the wonders of George Soros's America and what he's doing in Philadelphia. And others get to rebut it and say it's violative of state law. It's derelict in his oath of office. And then we'll take the vote. Then we'll see if there's a trial. So who are the people preventing this? Now, Sharif Street, Dan, said something important there. He didn't go too far. I mean, I liked the conversation with him. He didn't shove it down my throat. That the argument is, well, Philadelphia just voted overwhelmingly for this guy. Okay? So is that the definitive thing? And my argument is, at every level of government, I made this point, that Donald Trump won with 75 million votes. Right? Democrats still went ahead and impeached him, not once, but twice. They had no problem in doing it. Impeachment's got to be there. And is the evidence there? Russian collusion and the other charges, the insurrection? No. Do we have more evidence on Krasner? It's not just a look, if there were a difference of opinion and Krasner were a bit more liberal, for want of a better term, in his approach to criminal justice, then I'd say, nah, can't impeach on that. This is an all-out. This is like the guy in L.A. where he's under recall, in San Francisco, where they are just saying they are not going to enforce any number of laws that are on the books. That's what it comes down to, for a higher purpose. And you see what the results are. So Philadelphia has no impeachment mechanism. Do you just throw up your hands and say we have to wait till the next election? No. Impeachment is a remedy. Who's blocking it? And Dan and I are working on them. We hope to bring you some Republicans. What are they afraid of? Dan, this just shows to me how out of touch they are. It's the right thing to do, but also the politically right thing. Now, they might say they know more than I do. How's that going to look? It'll look like we're just getting even with Philadelphia. You're funding Philadelphia, and Philadelphia is saying we're a sanctuary city, which is illegal. Philadelphia is saying we are not going to pull people over for motor vehicle violations, which are part of the state vehicle code. It's not just about Krasner. I just thought during that break, Dan, that this is about putting Philadelphia saying we're not going to follow laws on trial. Isn't that what it's about? Krasner is the principal embodiment of that. Yeah. But the entire city council, the attitude in Philadelphia is, no, we're not going to follow the election laws. We're going to do whatever we want. And you're not going to do anything about it. How do you like that? And these cowardly Republicans so far in the House are making that calculation. So don't ever come on. Don't tell us about Krasner. Don't tell us about Philadelphia. You don't have the heart to take on Philadelphia. And then you moan and complain constantly, one way or another, about it. Here's your opportunity to step up. Now, we're not sure what they're going to do. We're going to try to get them on. It's shocking. Corman threw down the gauntlet of something we've all been hoping for and waiting for. All right, though, I wanted to talk a little bit, too. 214.
Can I just make one quick point before we move on?
Yeah.
The one thing I do appreciate about this letter being sent is... he may have. I don't know. I don't want to say one way or the other, but I don't think Senator Street would have came and joined us to have a conversation, an open conversation about Larry Krasner, had this not been filed.
No, you're right. It wouldn't
and
have been.
I think this does burst open the door for conversations to legitimately be had around Larry Krasner.
And around the reaction in Philadelphia. I want to play you one here, right? And this fired me up. I know some people probably were too, but then we had a caller. We played you Howard Stern at the top of the show. You talk about catnip for callers, Dan. And the caller that called in and supported Stern and saying, if you're unvaccinated in Howard Stern's America, you don't get into a hospital. You go home and die. My God, how ugly this guy is. At least before, his ugliness arguably was a pushback against norms that were, some people thought were overkill. Now his ugliness is just juvenile. But here is, from Fox 29, part of the problem. Now, Bruce Gordon is a political analyst. I know him, like the guy over the years. He is saying the Philadelphia mantra. This will never happen with Krasner, but listen to the news anchor, journalist, what he says at the end. This is in our system. What's this guy talking about? Impeachment is the embodiment. Where's he been? Impeaching someone is the embodiment of a system. Now, if you step up and miss, or if people don't like it, you get kicked out of office. That's the remedy of those that impeach when they should. All right, listen to this conversation.
Look, you can criticize Philadelphia voters for having reelected Larry Krasner after seeing him in action for 4 years. If you are a Larry Krasner critic, you can certainly criticize him. You can criticize Philly voters. But just 2 months ago, they voted to reelect him. Jake Corman, the Senate Majority Leader, Republican from Bellefonte, 200 miles away, is essentially saying to Philadelphia voters, you may have voted him back into office, but we think that was a stupid decision. Now we're going to try and remove him. It's not going to work from a procedural standpoint. Virtually no chance it happens. And it's basically a political stunt with no chance of getting anywhere. That's simple.
Well, that's not how it works. And our system is not designed to be that way.
What the heck is this guy, right? And then, you know, if you're a news anchor, shut up then. Danny would never come on, but I'd love to debate that. What do you mean our system's not meant to work that way? What's wrong with this? Our system's not meant to work that way. We're supposed to sit here. Suppose 1,000 people are murdered. Suppose there's 10,000 carjacking. Our system's not meant to work that way. All right, Dan, I wanted to finish up, then we'll take callers, though. We had a lot more from Dan Time with Dom today. I lost track with Senator Shreve, so thank you for letting me intrude on Dan Time with Dom. But you asked a really good question. We're now seeing, because of Biden, supply chain problems, a lot of truckers, I'd love to hear from a trucker, are quitting. I'm not sure directly the reasons, et cetera. So they're now looking at, I think it's as low as 18, but I did see in some states, 17-year-olds can start to apply, are looking to be long-distance, big-rig truck drivers. So are we better off with, tell me, you're on the Schuylkill, you look in one lane, there's an 18-year-old, you look in the other, it's Dan Borowski, and behind you is no one driving. It's artificial intelligence.
You're throwing my name out there.
Yes.
You're talking a guy throwing stones in a glass house, driving that left foot.
Yes.
On Twitter, we asked federal government considering allowing teenage truck drivers, which would you trust more? 55% Dom say a self-driven 18-wheeler.
Oh, God. I don't get that, do you?
I do. I think I'm with them. I reconsidered during the break. And I think the human error is a huge risk. And if you can program something to avoid said...
You can't, though.
I think you
Remember, Philadelphia doesn't even have signs. They call it different stuff. There's a pot. There's 10,000 feet. Yes, I see the road. I don't see the cliff we're going on. Come on.
The thing that bothers me, though, if we're getting a little bit deeper here, though, I don't like saying that I'm in favor of the self-driven 18-wheeler.
Right.
Because the second you open the door for that, the entire industry changes. And
right.
Opening it up to 18-year-olds, that's training new humans to find a job in said industry, whereas the self-driven 18-wheeler is the opposite direction. You know, you're taking jobs away.
Well, that is my biggest fear, as you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think we're coming to a point because of people not wanting to work. They're going to have to do something. And that means automation.
Yeah.
And those jobs won't come back.
What do you say to the people that say, so what, Dom? It's going to happen. It's inevitable. Automation's going to happen. What do you say to the people
that say? Well, I know we've heard that, the buggy whip and all that. I'm with the smart guys like Tucker Carlson. I think there is a point, though. There is something that's done that's an inflection point where the automation just takes over.
Yeah.
And too many jobs, you know.
Let me ask you this follow-up question that the left loves to throw out there. Just find another job.
Yeah, but people are not exactly multi-skilled. You know what I would give as an example of what I'm afraid of with artificial intelligence? I like to get someone on the phone, like Comcast. I had an outage, right? And tell them exactly the problem, rather than going through a bunch of prompts and I'm screaming at it. It's not that.
Yeah. Yep.
That's a real good example.
It's impossible to find customer service non-automated at this point.
Right. Now, they could say, look, you have 2 minutes. You got to state your problem. You got to tell me. I'm all about that. But that versus trying to explain to a computer what you're trying to get across, it's just mad. If we're going to go there.
Well, another example is checking out at the supermarket.
Yeah.
You know, you find one person who doesn't know how to use the self-checkout correctly, and there's only two open, then you're
right. Exactly.
You know, half, yeah.
So I'm sticking. You're caving to the mob there. I see exactly what you're doing. You were for the 18-year-old. Now the Twitter mob says.
It's not even the Twitter mob. It's the reconsidering the safety aspect of it. From a yes. safety standpoint, I would trust the self-driven 18-wheeler. But from a moral standpoint, I think the 18-year-old is the better idea.
Well, and some are 18-year-olds who are mature. Look, give me the argument. If they're in the military, if it's that type of kid, now the screening, do I trust the screening on this?
Good point
so,
as well.
You know, yeah. Some 18-year-olds could certainly go and do that. They'd be mature, et cetera.
And to our trucker friend screaming, I just want to put this out there. Dan writes into the poll saying that this is already happening on a statewide basis. There are some states that allow 18-year-old truck drivers, but the federal government is considering is interstate travel for these 18-year-olds.
Okay. Well, I did a national show. I'll never forget the call. I did this very type of thing. He said he was 14, and on Saturdays, they let him be behind the wheel. He was working as like an of the giant trash truck in Memphis driving down the streets, a 14-year-old.
I got to ask, I don't know, I didn't serve, but if you're in the Army, if you're serving,
yes,
do 18-year-olds drive the giant convoy trucks?
Or the tank or whatever.
Or the tank. So if we're going to allow an 18-year-old to drive a convoy truck or a tank in a war,
right.
I think it's appropriate to allow an 18-year-old to drive a truck in a commercial sense.
I just am the computer. The robots are not coming for me. They'll probably target the Dom Giordano show.
Just a self-driven 18-wheeler going
exactly,
right through your house.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, let's go to Randy waiting in Hunting Park on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Randy, thank you for the wait. Go ahead.
Hey, Dom, how you doing?
Good.
Good. So first thing I'd like to say is Sharif Street is, like most leftists, he's out of reality. He doesn't know the streets. And I don't know why you didn't challenge him on that lie he told. He said that the crime is just as bad now as when Lynn Abrams was the district attorney.
I did tell him it was all-time records. He ignored that and moved on. I did say that,
Yeah, I caught that. And then he asked you for the statistics. He's the legislator. He's supposed to be protecting his constituents. He should know the numbers. And for him to say...
We know them. We know them. Now, you know, they could argue how many is he letting go and all that. So I gave him the most public case I could think of, Randy. Everybody, and Sharif knew that story with the guy with the AK-47. That was the most public thing out of any of these.
Right. And here's the thing. They used to give the state three times to bring somebody to court before they would throw a case out. Not anymore. That was the first time that they brought that guy to court and the witness didn't show up and they threw the case out and they got somebody killed. Now, we need to just stick with prosecute the violent repeat offenders. You guys are making him step back on this whole thing. Like, they don't want the population on State Road to go back up to 7,200. Because when it's that high, you know there's like shoplifters in there. But he's not going to step back on that. But if we could just get the public to force him to go back on violent repeat offenders, all these carjackings and murders would definitely come down.
Gotcha, Randy. Look, we're in agreement. Look, when someone like, it's hard to get these people on to go back and forth with them. And Street said a lot of things I'm in agreement with. We'd love to get on somebody or the other, you know, and Dan and I try around the clock. My point is I'm more concerned about the Republicans at this point. They're the people we have to light the fire under. They're making a calculation that politically this would be ill-received because Krasner was – now, look, if Corman just snatched him up in the Senate and did that, it might be politically ill-received. He gets a hearing before the House, even before they do articles of impeachment. Then he gets another hearing before they do the vote, just like Trump had. And then he would get a trial in the Senate. That's due process. This guy wants this. This guy is taking on the system, so he deserves it. All right, more on that coming up, but it's time for Dom's Money Melody.
It's Dom's Money Melody.
I'm going to stump him today, Dom. I'm going to stump him. I'm telling you.
All right, we might have something very rare here, so give us the backstory before the clue, Dan.
Yeah, so I heard this song in a great TV show, The Umbrella Academy, recently. It was a big, big hit in the early 1980s, but not here in America. It was a worldwide hit, top 10 in countries, Australia, Germany, the UK. And it was made famous in a film later than the release, and it kind of had a new life given to it. But I want to know today the band behind this great tune. It's a very pretty tune, so Dom, here's your clue for the day.
I've heard that. It sounds very British to me, but let's hear it one more time.
Yes, it's a little bit longer of a clue today, but here we go again.
All right, so we want to know the name of the band. $25 gift card to Boston Market. Get the rotisserie chicken, Dan says, always. Here's how you get in. 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. Just push pound 1210.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, there might be a miss today. It's rare. We don't get that. Let's hear the clue again, Dan. All right, let's go to some callers. Winner gets $25 gift card to Boston Market. Kevin in Hatboro. Who's the band, Kevin?
It's the Stranglers.
All right, Dan is walking out of the studio here. He can't believe
that people
got
Kevin?
This. Come on, Kevin. How did you know that?
It's one of my favorite bands, and the song's called Golden Brown.
There you go. Do you know what movie brought back life to the song?
No, I don't recall.
That was a Snatch. It was a great scene in Snatch, and it kind of went viral. Well, not viral. I guess viral at the time. It was back in 2000. The film came out and got a new life to the song. And I love this song. It's using a lot of soundtracks now. It wasn't a huge song stateside back when it first came out, but now a lot of popularity because of soundtracks. Congratulations, Kevin. $25. Boston Market coming your way.
Good stuff, Kevin. I'll put you on hold.
Thanks a lot, guys.
You are welcome every day, no matter what, at 2:14. That's what we engage in. As I said, we're going to come up with the Prime Minister of East Turkestan. That's the province that we're talking about with the Uyghurs. And we want to play you, in case you missed it, Dan, whichever one you think. Well, I don't know which one fired me up the most, from the NBA guy. I think when he attacked this country trying to, well, when he says that we don't care about what goes on in China. Do you have that one, or you got the guy's information?
His China policy, the fact that he came out with a statement on the Uyghurs, I thought was very strong. You know, it's one of the stronger things he did, but it's not coming up in the polls. And I think that whole Republicans interested in getting Hillary to run
about,
again is
nobody cares about what's happening to the Uyghurs, okay? You bring it up because you really
what?
Care, and I think
what
that's
mean,
nice that you
cares?
Care. The rest of us don't care. I'm just telling you a very hard... I'm telling you a very hard, ugly truth, okay? Of all the things that I care about, yes, it is below my line. Okay? Of all the things that I care about, it is below my line.
Disappointing.
All right. And then he went on to attack us and say we shouldn't be concerned about what goes on in China. So, I know we've been through this, and you can't not watch everything that's out there. I don't have a stake, other than we'll probably talk about it, and watching too much of the Winter Olympics. I'm not turned on by curling and looking at it on the toboggan, and certainly the ice skating versus the Summer Olympics, which I'm not turned on to anymore either because there are no Russians as competitors, really. So are people going to be able to watch the Olympics? Given what it is just letting the Chinese pretend to the world this is normal. NBC has $1 billion in this. I don't think they're going to allow anything that comes anywhere near talking about what goes on in that province where they've enslaved 1 million people. And you have people now questioning that and saying, we're making it up. You know, they're related to the NBA. I think the NBA probably is the worst professional sports franchise. I know the NFL is more prominent as far as the nonsense that players engage in. That's where we've seen them. Shut up about China. So we'll talk for a few minutes with the prime minister who's in hiding of that nation state that also has been enslaved. Do we care about it? I realize how hard it is to care about those people explicitly. But, you know, again, this guy's a big-time liberal that we played you, contributes millions to Democrat candidates. And he's just questioning any conservative. They don't really care. They're just doing it politically. Well, I think conservatives do care. They care about freedom. They're against enslavement. And it seems that progressives are the ones that can look the other way. And you have to, they're looking the other way. Now, there are all sorts of people that are not pushing back against China. There is no doubt about that. Hey, one other thing, Dan. You were good enough yesterday to give us a public service how to get the free home tests, four of them, right?
Yeah.
So a great listener, though, sent me this. Your order will be prioritized if you're in a household experiencing the highest social vulnerability and in communities that have experienced a disproportionate share of COVID cases and deaths.
How do they track that?
Well, see, that's the thing. I know exactly what they're going to do. They're not tracking it. They're going to go with the inner city and that type of stuff. It's an equity play again. And this website, I was hoping a listener might tell us, it's got a pretty big glitch. Apparently, if you live in an apartment complex, an apartment building, right? And you put that in first, it might come to you. And when anybody else in the apartment complex puts it in, that address, it won't send it. Because the address is already, it can't distinguish.
Really? Come on.
Isn't that a basic? I need some of our IT. I think that's a pretty basic thing that they ought to be able to deal with, right? But apparently, that's what was happening yesterday when it launched.
Wow.
I don't know if they fixed it or not. Look, I realize when you're going to have this demand, we're going to be dealing here with people, millions and millions and millions of these, right? You better be pretty good. And the government with Obamacare, I remember when it rolled out, is not. They don't have the best people.
Do you think this is a rush out because of what Kamala said in
the
interview last week?
Yes, I think they're rushing. And that's why Biden's doing the news conference today at 4. Now, we'll have full coverage tomorrow of Mr. Magoo. And who does he take questions from? But they have a shrinking pool now of reporters they can safely go to. Because more and more reporters are realizing they just can't be completely in the tank. It's obvious. You're seeing it. Even Saturday Night Live is not in the tank as much. All right, let me go to Richard in Westchester. Richard, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Richard. Welcome.
Hi. Good afternoon. Yeah, this is Martin Luther King Day this week, and he said something that the words of I fear the words of my enemies less than the silence of my friends. And that goes for the Republican legislators in Harrisburg. Are they going to be cowards, or are they going to step up and try to stop evil in its tracks? And it's the same thing with the Chinese. Are we going to subsidize evil or not? So will we remember the words of our enemies or the silence of our friends?
Well, you're right, Richard. I would tell it's time for people to call your representative. I know what their office is going to say. Well, we don't know about this. And then what I always advise, and you probably would too, well, then what the hell is your representative doing that they wouldn't know
right.
fully about this? Because they have been talking, they admit, the Republican leadership incessantly about Krasner, et cetera. They say that, but then they don't say what they're going to do about it.
Right. They're cowards. Talk is cheap. And evil to prosper, good men do nothing. And we have lots of people who do nothing and a few people who do who actually step up to the plate.
Thank you, Richard. I mean, can't they position it, Dan? You and I have talked about this. They're the ones that are riding to the defense of people in the inner city by trying to say, look at what Krasner's policies, the carnage it's causing. Now, I know that won't play well with some progressives, but you mean to say people out there are going to be on the side of Krasner and say this is just political, particularly when Krasner stands before them? Could he withstand that, given what the nonsense he's done? Would I bring in Bill McSwain to be the lead person asking the questions? Yeah, I would bring in Bill McSwain. Maybe George Paquetto. Joe in Exton's on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Joe, who's your villain?
Yes, hello, Dom, and good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Joe.
My all-time villain is the James Bond Goldfinger.
All right, pretty classic villain. Absolutely good villain. That's the side question of the day, in honor or dishonor of Larry Krasner. Coming up, we've spoken with him before. He's got to move around. Because I can imagine, you know, that the Turkish basketball player and his freedom has to be under all kinds of guard because of the Turks and the Chinese and the NBA. We're going to talk with the prime minister of East Turkestan in exile. And he's going to lay out, we played you the NBA guy, what's the evidence of what the Chinese are doing? And then when you watch NBC, Dan, is it next week it starts or is it the following week? I'm kind of unclear with the Winter Olympics.
July. No, that's the Summer Olympics. Yeah,
January.
I don't know.
It's in the next 10 days, I believe. So look, NBC's in a tough spot. I get it. They spent $1 billion. February 4th. But they had to know, how can you go to China and cover this stuff given what's going on there? It's obvious what they're warning athletes about, et cetera. So we'll talk with the prime minister. Continue to take your calls, though.
Nobody cares about what's happening to the Uyghurs, okay? You bring it up because you really care. And I think
what
that's nice that you
cares?
Care. The rest of us don't care. I'm just telling you a very
care?
Hard.
Wait,
I'm
you're
telling
saying you personally don't care?
I'm telling you a very hard, ugly truth, okay? Of all the things that I care about, yes, it is below my line. Okay? Of all the things that I care about, it is below my line.
Disappointing.
All right, welcome in the Dom Giordano program. If you forgot, that guy is an NBA minority owner. I think he owns 10% of the Golden State Warriors, and he's worth $1.2 billion, but it's below his line. All right, Sauli Hudiyar is the prime minister of the East Turkestan government in exile. He's joined us before. We welcome him back to Philadelphia. Prime Minister, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you heard about this, I'm sure, during that day. What's your sense? Is that guy telling, he says, a harsh truth? People don't care about what the Communist Chinese Party is doing to people in your country and across much of China.
Well, I think there's some partial truth to what he is saying. I mean, there are people, the average people, I know many good people who actually care about the Uyghurs. Many of them, you know, who have been very helpful to us, you know, not just here in the United States, but in Europe and other parts of the world. But sadly, the partial truth about this is that, yes, the elites like, you know, Hamas, the companies, the NBA, and other individuals and organizations and companies that are involved in, you know, business deals with the genocidal Chinese communist government. Yes, they don't care about the Uyghurs. And for them, unfortunately, profit, making money is much more important than the lives of millions of innocent people.
Prime Minister, you know, in World War II, the New York Times did it with the Holocaust. It's harder to do today because of social media, technology, people smuggling stuff out. And even the Communist Chinese, we see publicly at times what they do. But he also went on to say, well, you know what, where's the evidence? I can see there might be some things they're doing that we wouldn't do in the United States, sort of. So what would you say to people who say, where's the evidence of this widespread concentration camps, enslavement?
Well, the evidence is very clear. Anyone with access to, Google Earth, whether that's through a mobile phone or whether that's through, a laptop, a tablet, can, go onto Google Earth, and there are coordinates of these facilities, of these concentration camps and these slave labor camps that the East Turkestan National Awakening Movement and others have put out there online that they can look at and visibly see the existence of these camps from, via satellite imagery with high, walls, guard towers, razor fence, security cameras and fencing. And there are videos of this, smuggled out by people who were traveling in the region. There are videos, that were taken by, amateur drones showing Uyghurs, with their heads shaved and being transported like cattle, hundreds of Uyghurs like cattle onto trains. And there are, clear video and other visual evidence of Chinese officials calling Uyghurs, saying that Uyghurs need to be, cleaned out like weeds, that they need to be sprayed and killed off like weeds, and statements by, Chinese government officials, including Xi Jinping. Anyone who's been inside East Turkestan can see the fact that there are even special lanes at airports that say for organ transplants only.
Slow down on that? Special lanes just for organ transplants, that they're taking organs and special lanes to put them? Wow.
Yeah, these are all evidence. We have video evidence. We have photographic evidence. We have visual satellite imagery evidence. We have, the speeches of Chinese officials. We have the testimonies of, previous camp detainees. We have tons of videos showing, Uyghurs being taken from their homes and sent to, quote, re-education or vocational training, which is a sick euphemism for the concentration.
Well, let me turn because of time. Now it's coming to a head. So in a short period of time, NBC will be doing the prelim and then doing the Olympics. What do you see as, is there any hope, you're inside this, that NBC is going to shine the light on anything inside communist China?
I mean, if they're going to be shining the light on anything, it looks like they're going to be only shining the light on China's, Olympics. We have been trying to, urge the NBC to not broadcast the Olympics, because the Olympics, is essentially going to allow China to show off, give prestige to China while there's a genocide going on in the 21st century. It's just going to only empower China to continue the atrocities. It's been, over 5 years. In 2016 is when they officially started sending Uyghurs in mass to the so-called vocational training centers, which everyone across the world has now come to recognize as concentration camps, as what it truly is.
Well, I hope that somehow or another something happens where NBC has a moment here, and then the world sees what the communist Chinese do. We'd love to talk with you again once the Olympics start. Good luck, and thank you. Thanks for continuing to expose this.
Thank you for having me.
All right, there is Salih Houdiar, who is the prime minister of East Turkestan. That's the place in contention. And NBC, look, I realize $1 billion, et cetera, but my God, this guy with the NBA, it's repulsive. Well, LeBron James, Charles Barkley even on this.
Yeah.
They want the money. Adam Silver, who's usually more clever, they want the money. And the president of the Sixers, Daryl Morey, just put, hey, free Hong Kong. That was it. They don't miss a trick. They went after him unbelievably. And that triggered what the NBA really thinks about this.
So real quick, he mentioned a map that you can pull up. That's actually at nationalawakening.org/coordinates. Again, nationalawakening.org/coordinates. And it's fascinating to take a look at. They really have marked down the location of these concentration camps and labor camps, prisons. And what they do is it's an app that you can hook up to your Google Earth on your computer, and they have it all mapped out, and you can zoom in and look at the concentration camps and prisons using Google satellite imaging.
So, Dan, can you put that up on Twitter?
Yeah, so at DomShow 1210, that'll be there.
Now, you're going to hear, well, in 1936, I guess it was broadcast on radio or something, we had the Olympics with Adolf Hitler. I believe it was 36. Okay, here's the difference. We didn't have the technology, to Dan's point, and you can take a look at this on Twitter at DomShow 1210, at DomShow 1210, Dan's putting it up. And we didn't fully know about Hitler at that point. Maybe there were people who thought it doesn't look so good, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? With this, how much more do we need to know about this government? Not only, it's not just the savagery of what they do. It's the threat that they are. We still cannot get people to do what you and I know. Come on, the Wuhan virus. We cannot get that from the Faucis and the others on down. And it's not just on the left, progressives or the NBA or business people like this clown that we've been playing you. It's on the level of a lot of Republicans, a lot of business people who are complicit in this. And their fingers are on college campuses, the NBA, all over the place. They get into the weeds, as I mentioned. Just that tweet. Now, you know, the Houston Rockets, he was with the Rockets then, had Yao Ming. So it was on their radar, and they went nuts. And we saw the NBA expose itself. But this is a huge problem. Trump was taking him on a bit with the tariffs, et cetera. But this is the tussle that is going to determine the fate of this country in the next 30, 40, 50 years and the world. And the world just can't get together to oppose them. Doing an Olympics there. This is a lot worse, you're going to hear that, than the Olympics in 1936, for the reason I stated. All right, questions, calls, 855-839-1210. At the end of your call, hit us with your favorite fictional villain in honor of what we've been talking about with Larry Krasner. And again, we'll have a lot more to say. We are trying to bring you these Republicans who have the ability on a dime to say we are starting to hold hearings on whether or not articles of impeachment should be brought, as they should. They can vote on that, and then they can have his day in court. Then they can vote on impeachment, and then there's a Senate trial. This would do a lot of good. They're afraid, though. It looks bad politically. If they won't come on, that will be all that you need to know. I mean, we even had somebody on the side of Krasner, sort of, in Sharif Street, and we can't get Republicans on? They ought to be calling Dan like Mike Terzai did at 6 a.m., Dan, that one day.
Hey, it's not Mike Terzai.
Yeah, he had to all the frog in the throat. I want to come on today. Can I come on? Yeah. Former speaker. They ought to be bugging me. They ought to be driving over here. All right, 855-839-1210. You get in with Dom and Dan on Talk Radio 1210. It is Dom time, and you know what we do at this point?
The
what's
time
it called?
Has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
All right, be ready. Hit us with that all-time fictional villain. Let's go to Fred in Warminster. Fred, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Fred.
Good afternoon, guys. My choice is Colonel Nathan Jessup for A Few Good Men.
Ah, I wouldn't call him a villain. I'd call him an anti-hero, but that is a real iconic. We've never done anti-heroes. You'd say he's a villain, though.
Well, he's much like Krasner, so.
All right.
It's his way or the highway.
That's true. Nathan Jessup. I see him as more of an anti-hero, you know? I don't know about you.
Well, I would have to see the movie again to tell you.
You've not seen the movie?
No, I haven't seen it in a long time. We talked
okay.
about that, yeah.
All right.
It's
all
one
right.
of those that I have to go back and watch.
Anti-heroes
now.
Might be a side. We got sides already coming out here. Tom in Rosemont. Hey, Tom, welcome in.
Hey, Dom. Okay, she packed a lot of evil into her 12 years of being of life. When The Walking Dead was good, Lizzie. Lizzie was the girl who killed her own sister to make her a zombie, was then going to kill Rick's daughter, Judith, to make her a zombie, even though she was a baby, until Carol said, "Look at the flowers, Lizzie," and took her out.
Wow.
That is
yes.
a great answer.
That is a great answer. Lizzie.
Was she a 10-year-old?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, something like that. I love Carol as a character. When she had the zombies there and she was firing some kind of bazooka-like thing into it.
As
pretty good.
As bad as the show became, it's really one of my favorite shows of all time.
Just there were two or three years in there, yes, yeah. what I agree. Yeah. And when Negan came in, it was good for a year.
Yeah, with his baseball
but
bat.
Then, yeah. Danny in Wilmington, Delaware, the murder capital. All right, Dan, who do you have?
Hey, guys. Who does Krasner, when he looks in the mirror in the morning, what's he see? The Wile E. Coyote from the Roadrunner.
Oh, tying it to Krasner. Nicely played. All right, Dan, give us a couple. We can make a decision on
the
here.
The big ones, the heavy hitters today, Patton Upper Dublin, Count Dracula, Stephen Bucks County with Darth Vader. Some out-of-the-box ones, ones we haven't heard in a while. Boris and Natasha.
Yes.
Joan in Philadelphia. Lizzie, I like the Lizzie answer being out-of-the-box from Tom and Rosemont. And then Thanos was said, too, who's kind of the new Darth Vader, you know, of this generation.
I kind of like early on, and it's a tough one to beat, Dracula.
Yeah, I think it's an all-time great. I mean, if you had a Mount Rushmore of villains, I think Count Dracula would sure be on there.
All right, let's go with Dracula today. And tomorrow, in honor of Jesse Waters, who's going to be on 1 o'clock on Friday, big guest now. He's really big. Philadelphians that have succeeded nationally. And then on Friday, in his honor again, we might do all-time eyebrows. I had my eyebrows cut today. So
do you have anyone on top of mind for your eyebrows?
Groucho.
Groucho. Oh, that's a great one. How about Eugene Levy? You
know, yes. Yeah. Oh, that. All right, we'll take those two off. 2 days in advance, be thinking of others. Hey, great time today. Thank you so much. We'll continue the Krasner story tomorrow. And find out if we can get a Republican or two to come on a show that should be a home court advantage for them. And a bunch of other things, including Dom's Money Melody. Check Twitter between now and then, my Twitter at DomShow1210.
It's Dom Money Melody.
Thank you, Dan. And thank you, Jim.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.